Thank you very much, Mr. President. I have requested for the floor to respond to the comments made by the distinguished ambassador of India. The references to India in the statement delivered by our permanent representative earlier today were all based on facts on the ground and other recent developments. These facts might be uncomfortable for India, but they are solid, irrefutable facts. The toxic extremist ideology pervasive in India today, along with its offensive doctrines and hegemonic pretensions, its quest for conventional and strategic military dominance, a history of aggression against its neighbors, and the refusal to engage in a dialogue or mediation on dispute resolution, confidence building, and risk reduction present a clear and present danger, not just to Pakistan, but to regional and international peace and security. India's recent illegitimate actions in occupied Jammu and Kashmir, in blatant disregard for UN Security Council resolutions, coupled with its belligerent rhetoric, have compounded the regional security situation. Contrary to the assertions made, these issues are completely germane to the CD because they carry grave implications for regional and international peace and security. India must act responsibly and work towards preserving rather than imperiling peace in South Asia. India's spurious claim that its security compulsions are not confined to any geographical region is belied by the fact that the bulk of India's offensive capability is deployed against Pakistan. And not only that, the senior political and military leadership of India has openly resorted to irresponsible rhetoric and saber rattling, which reflects a dangerous hegemonic mindset. The Indian ambassador's statement did not address the many facts presented by my delegation regarding its massive destabilizing arms buildup and aggressive military policies and the purpose behind them. India itself publicly claimed to have carried out the first deterrence patrol in a nuclear-powered submarine, presumably equipped with nuclear weapons, in August 2018. India continues to publicly announce its test of a wide range of delivery systems for both conventional and nuclear weapons. The test of an anti-satellite weapon was also proudly announced by India itself. Similarly, the statements by Indian leaders regarding changes in its so-called declaratory no first use nuclear posture are also part of public record. These actions are in addition to the development and operationalization by India of highly aggressive and destabilizing military doctrines that envisage conventional attacks on Pakistan below the perceived nuclear threshold. Mr. President, India's illegitimate actions of August 5, 2019 in Jammu and Kashmir are aimed at further consolidating its illegal occupation of this territory. These moves are in clear breach of UN Security Council resolutions, particularly with regard to the realization of the Kashmiris' right to self-determination. The gross and systematic violations of international law and international human rights law by India have reached unprecedented levels, as extensively catalogued in the reports of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights and other human rights bodies and civil society organizations. Let me emphasize one fact here. Mr. President, Jammu and Kashmir is neither an integral part of India, nor is it India's internal matter. In accordance with UN Security Council resolutions, it is an internationally recognized disputed territory. The UN Security Council has met on no less than three occasions during the last 5 months to address this matter, recognizing the threat posed by India to international peace and security and regional strategic stability in South Asia. Lastly, Mr. President, regarding the gratuitous claim about India's support for a fissile material cutoff treaty. After amassing tons of unsafeguarded fissile material as a so-called strategic reserve, directly aided and abetted by discriminatory waivers from the nuclear suppliers group and nuclear cooperation agreements with many major supplier countries, India can surely do some grandstanding by maintaining a declaratory position in favor of the commencement of FMCT negotiations. For Pakistan, these declarations ring hollow. If India claims to support FMCT, then why does it insist on basing the negotiations on the restrictive Shannon mandate? Why is it unwilling to include existing stocks in the treaty's scope in a manner that would genuinely contribute to global and regional stability, as well as to nuclear disarmament, which India also claims to support? It comes as no surprise to Pakistan that India is the strongest opponent of extending the future treaty scope in a manner that encompasses existing stocks. in order to perpetuate the prevailing asymmetries in South Asia to India's permanent strategic advantage. Also, unlike the other nuclear armed states that favor the commencement of FMCT negotiations, India has neither declared a unilateral moratorium nor ceased the production of fissile material. It directly benefits from the current situation that it is disingenuously blaming on Pakistan by continuing to increase its fissile material stocks. If ceasing national production was a good gauge of good faith towards the start of FMCT negotiation, India fails to fulfill that condition. Pakistan's position on FMCT is guided by our national security interests. So is our position on a program of work in the CD, like any other CD member. The treaty should provide undiminished security for all states, a principle recognized by SSOD-1. It should contribute both to the objectives of nuclear disarmament as well as non-proliferation in all its aspects. The way the treaty is currently envisaged under the Shannon mandate, it affects Pakistan disproportionately. We therefore have been compelled to oppose such negotiations as they would be detrimental to our vital national security interests. Other countries in a similar situation to us take the exact same position on issues that prejudice their national security in the CD. We are, however, open and constructive in our engagement in this matter to find a solution that addresses the concerns of all affected countries. We have offered many proposals and ideas, both bilaterally as well as in the CD, some of which have been repeatedly rejected by India. We are, Mr. President, openly opposed to an FMCT based on the Shannon mandate because of the reasons highlighted by me. However, we remain open to considering a mandate that for negotiations that expressly includes existing stocks in the treaty scope. I thank you very much.